I got through to the United States via England. So I'll go back to Zimbabwe. I used to work as a book publisher for one book publisher. And then while I was there, I got a scholarship actually to go and do a master's degree in publishing at Oxford Brookes University in England. So that was actually in 2007. That's when I left the country. And while I was in England, I won another internship at the World Bank here in Washington, D.C., and that was in 2008. That was the first time I got to America. And then once I was here, as they always say, one thing led to another. Mm-hmm. And finally, I found myself coming back as a permanent resident of the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you are a teacher for high school and you're teaching math. Let's talk about the cultural space that you're in when you work with your students. You know, how is it for you as a teacher?
Actually, I'm one of the lucky teachers because I work in a very cultural diverse area. But before I worked there, I used to work for another school where 99% of our population was African American, and also the same thing with staff, which was kind of a different environment altogether. Linguistically, culturally, a lot of things were very, very different. And I think that was a learning curve for me, you know. Of course, most of the time, obvious, people expect weird behavior issues, and indeed we did have. But we also had students who were so interesting, who were fascinated with Africa, not in a negative way. Mm-hmm. There were kids who really wanted to learn more about Africa, just asking me the questions, and I was sharing certain pictures for them about Africa, and they were kind of appreciative. And of course, on the other end, it was the first time to meet students were really, really challenging, and, you know, and they say their mind literally, you know, whatever is on in their mind, they would say it. So that was different from home.
Mm-hmm. And I think, as you're pointing out, a lot of African immigrants always talk about the difference in classroom structure from when they were growing up. You know, I grew up here in America, but I remember being in Zimbabwe, and when I first got here, you know, seeing how the kids interacted with the teachers, and it was very different in the sense of, you know, there was there wasn't that structure to say, okay, this is the teacher, you're the student. Can you talk about that?
I think one of the things, it comes from the educational philosophy. I think back home, sometimes teachers are demigods. And I know people won't like that statement, but the teacher knows everything. The teacher tells everyone what to do. And our world system tends to be teacher-centered. Even when we do group work at home, the teacher probably will tell you, you sit with this one, you do this one. Whilst that has an advantage of maintaining certain structure, it, however, does not allow students to grow, which is the difference here. Most of the things are student-oriented. Mm-hmm. So the teacher, most of the time, you facilitate, you tell them, today we are doing this. I know I've spoken about slope intercept, it's my favorite topic, and I happen to be teaching it when schools open. So the thing is, when you come in, yes, there may be that moment when I'm doing what is called direct instruction, the teacher teaching and saying the things, but just after for 10 minutes, you start to remove yourself and allow students to work as a group. And as you say, even the sitting arrangement, the teacher is not always in front. And when I was training to be a teacher here in America, I was told something interesting. I was told that a teacher can teach from anywhere in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And the eyes will follow you.
And since we've been talking, you brought up a good point that I think is wonderful, that you are a rural boy and that no matter where you are in the world, you always go back to your rural upbringing. Can you talk about that and how, you know, that has impacted your work to this day?
Actually, the first time I remember was 1992. I finished grade 7 back home in the village. And I went to Bulawayo to start Form 1, which here in America would be like 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the first thing that they said, they called us VK. And I've actually written a poem about that because I do write poems. And then VK meant Velekaya, the mm-hmm. one from the village, mm-hmm. you know. And to a certain point, I wanted to run away from my village-ness. You know, it wasn't cool to be from Cholocho. And actually, I happened to be from Cholocho. And the teacher always said stuff about people from Cholocho. Oh, they do this. Oh, they steal. They are murderers. And you know, I wanted to be city. I wanted to talk about MacGyver, you know, wrestling, Shawn Michaels, you know. I didn't want to talk about Cholocho stuff. I mean, who does that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but as I became an adult, I'd started to realize how much blessed I am to have been brought up in the village. I've had the experience, and I remember this actually came strongly to me when I was in England. And I remember saying to myself, from Cholocha to Oxford. And I was talking to myself as I was walking in Oxford. And I said to myself, I should be proud. And I said to myself, why? I said, because Cholocha, the village, was able to prepare me for England.
And I'm moving forward, looking at your journey to where you are now. What is next for you? And also, you know, all the young students that you hope to affect in some way, be it here in the States or, of course, back home in rural Zimbabwe, in Cholocha, for example.
My role, I wish to advocate for rural Zimbabweans, whether it's in Zimbabwe or actually as I establish connections even at universities here in the US or in the UK, because I was also a student there. I want to say to them, please consider those who went to rural schools. When people apply for scholarships, check which school they went to. Try to talk to them about Cholocho High School. It's kind of that is completely different from Prince Edward High School in Harare. But it also produces a really grounded person who understands both sides of the life. And that's what I hope to do, a rural advocate.